Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. From you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We give you thanks, we pray.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, you have taught us that without love, whatever we do is worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts your greatest gift, which is love, the true bond of peace and all virtue, without which whoever lives is accounted dead before you. Grant this for the sake of your only Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed they were at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life, for the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a physical body, it is raised in a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. It is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have been born of the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the gospel of the Lord. Joseph said to those brothers of his, he said, "Don't worry, God sent me here before you to preserve life." To preserve life. May we speak in the way that we pray and live in the way that we speak. Amen. So thank you for being here. I know you probably had to get in a canoe or a rowboat or a moat to get here. It's been a wet couple of days, but I'm so glad that the sun is out there and we're here together just in time to hear Jesus say, "You got to love your enemies." Oh man, that Jesus. He's always shaking things up, especially in the Gospel of Luke, right? Jesus is this guy who's the prophet. And the thing about prophets is that prophets are always figuring out if they want to be right or in relationship. That's the thing with prophets. They walk this really interesting line between being right or being in a relationship. And Jesus is no different, right? And he's saying these things. He's the guy in Luke who will say something like, "You have heard it said this, but I say to you this," right? So everything, basically, that's a really rhetorical way of Jesus saying, everything that you thought was true was this, but I'm going to say something like this, right? And so this whole love thing that Jesus is talking about in the Gospel of Luke today, right? It should be a little bit jarring to us. We shouldn't just hear that and be like, "Oh yeah, I can do that." Because everything in us is about preserving ourselves. And part of that is protecting ourselves against our enemies and animosity and anger and resentment. Those are part of that experience, right? But Jesus, the prophet, is calling us out of that. How are we ever going to do that? I think it takes a whole lot of faith. Which brings me to a joke. I love to tell jokes about Episcopalians. You'll learn this about me. And I love that because Episcopalians are really easy to make fun of in jokes. And so here we are together. We can kind of make fun of ourselves. So here it goes. So there's an Episcopalian, a Catholic, and a Baptist. And they die and they're there in heaven together, right? And Jesus calls that Baptist up to the throne. Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And the Baptist says, "Well, the Bible teaches," and Jesus says, no, I want to know what you have to say. Just sit down. Calls the Catholic up there, says to the Catholic, "Who do you say that I am?" The Catholic says, "Well, the church teaches," and Jesus says, no. Gets the Episcopalian up there, and she's great. She's a really smart Episcopalian. Gets her up there and says, "Who do you say that I am?" And the Episcopalian says, "Well, you're the Christ, the Son of God, the one who's come into the world." And Jesus says, "Finally," and then the Episcopalian says, "On the other hand..." Oh yeah. So the question that Jesus is holding up for us today about loving our enemies, right, in these really difficult moments, it's a question of if we're going to be the kind of people who say something like, "On the other hand," right, or if we're people who believe that what we've built these beautiful structures for, the truth that we've built them to hold, that God is alive and active and moving in and redeeming our lives day by day, moment by moment, breath by breath, if we believe that that's true or not. And the question, of course, that we come here and gather around this table to affirm can be hard to believe, and we wonder where we can sort of draw inspiration. And we've got this story that Jerry read from... Genesis about Joseph. And I know you're all up to speed on the Joseph story, but just in case, that you haven't taken EFM with Gaines, let me bring you through the Joseph saga just a little bit. So you remember Joseph was one of 12 sons of Jacob there, and Jacob had all these sons by three wives, and there was a little bit of animosity there. You can only just picture this, you know, going on. And Joseph, remember, is the guy who goes to his brothers. He's like 17 years old when this whole thing starts, and he says to his brothers, he said, I had a dream, and in that dream, these things that represent you came to this thing that represented me, and you bowed down to me. This is how it starts with Joseph, right? And so his brothers, they just love him, right? No. So they're pretty angry with Joseph, and there's a lot of anger there. But Jacob is like, you know, the perfect father's figure in the story, in that he has the favorite, which he does not hide. He makes him this coat, right? Oh, man, just setting poor Joseph up, right? And so there's this one day when Joseph's brothers are all out, and they've got the sheep out there, and Joseph's looking for them, and he goes and he finds them, and they see him coming at a distance, and they make a plot against Joseph, right? They throw Joseph in the pit, and then the Bible is a little bit distorted here. We're not sure if it's Mennonites or who it is that comes down out of Gilead to get Joseph with their camels. But they come in, and he's in the pit, and they're planning to kill him. They say, oh, we'll sell him to these traitors instead. And so they sell him, and Joseph ends up in Egypt, right? And you would think that maybe, man, the pit, literally the pit, right? That this is the end of it for Joseph, but it's not. You know, it gets worse for Joseph. So he ends up in this place called one of the houses of the assistants of Pharaoh, this guy named Potiphar, and he's there, and he's doing pretty good with Potiphar, and then Potiphar's wife takes a liking to Joseph. Happens. And so then Joseph gets accused of stepping out with Potiphar's wife there, and he gets thrown in prison. And so there's that. And then he has to interpret some dreams. And then ultimately things sort of come together. But it's after this long, arduous, difficult, scary process. I would guess that if I unpacked the stories of the lives that are in this room, we might have some of those of our own, right? Those pit moments, those betrayals from brothers, those getting thrown into the pit moments, those being accused of things that are not really our fault when we're just trying to do something good. I think we all might find ourselves in these moments. And so how does this story about Joseph inspire us to love our enemies like Jesus is calling us to do today, right? Which is a very difficult thing to do. Well, Joseph, after all that, in today's part of the story that we read, forgives his brothers magnanimously. Man, I just got that word out. That was really, just forgives his brothers, right? And so how is it that Joseph got to that point? Being thrown in the pit, left for dead, getting sold into slavery. I don't know about you. I mean, my little brother blacked my eye. I still have not forgiven him for that. I bring that up every other Thanksgiving or so, at least. You know, how do you do this? How do you forgive like Joseph forgives, right? Well, I think there's something about Joseph's story has brought him through the trust that God is really there. That God is really up to something in Joseph's life. And he says as much to his brothers. God sent me here before. Do not be upset. God sent me here before you for the sake of preserving life, right? That was the whole point. For the sake of preserving life, right? And so in these difficult, horrible moments, maybe, if we begin to trust, to believe, to accept the notion that God is really up to something in our lives, right? Those moments where something really bad happened to you, right? But somebody showed up with a plate of brownies, right? Or an encouraging word. Or if you were in a financial difficult situation, someone showed up with a little bit of extra money that month, or whatever it was, right? If we believe that those things come of luck or our own sort of skill, or if that's God showing up in our lives. And if we can begin to believe that that might be God showing up in our lives, maybe we can begin to see how every breath that we take is a moment with the divine, right? And I don't think it's easy work. I think it's really hard. Let me tell you about one time that it was really, really hard that I learned about. So in 1992, this guy named Larimum, who is not much older than Joseph, shows up to a party in downtown Minneapolis. Lehrman was this guy who had done mostly good in school, was on his way to graduate high school, was doing pretty good, but every once in a while his mom would say he would get in a little bit of trouble, run with the wrong crowd, do something wrong. So he goes to this party downtown Minneapolis, and he's there, and all of a sudden this group of guys shows up who are part of what Lehrman knows to be a gang who are bringing drugs into this sort of situation. And one of those guys, his name's O'Shea. So you got Lehrman and O'Shea. And an altercation breaks out. Lehrman's trying to get those folks out of there. O'Shea's sort of leading this group of people into this party. And of course, O'Shea, as these stories often go, also brought a handgun with him. And Lehrman ends up shot to death at this party at the age of 17. And so O'Shea gets arrested. He goes to prison. He's not older than Lehrman is. He's like 17 years old. He's in prison. He's not tried as an adult for this thing. So there's some hope, but there he is in this deathly awful situation, right? The way that I learned about this story was that I visited Minneapolis not too long ago, and I went to this little place that used to be a drug house, and the Catholic Church bought it there and turned it into a monastery slash ministry home. And so this group of nuns were there, and they opened, it's an urban retreat house is what they call it. It's Anna's House. If you ever go to Minneapolis, I recommend to go and check this place out. A lot of really cool ministries come through here. And I sat down with this woman named Mary over a breakfast table, and Mary told us her story. And Mary was talking about how that she runs this ministry called From Death to Life. And Death to Life is all about reconciling and connecting and healing parents who have lost children to gang violence with the offenders or with gangs or with people who have offended in that way. That's what that ministry is all about, From Death to Life, right? And it's seen a lot of success, and it's gotten the attention of, you know, it's national news at one point. Sort of the city has definitely picked it up and supported it. And I think to date they've served something like 650 different cases of folks who have been in this situation, right, where they've lost a child. And sitting there across this table from Mary, I said, well, what has inspired you to do this? Like, what inspired you to take on this ministry? And she said, well, one day I was so angry at this man in prison that I went into that prison and certain that I was going to point the finger at him and tell him and let him know all of the brokenness and hatred and meanness and anger and destruction that he had brought into my life, right? And she went to the prison to visit this person to tell him, you have done this thing to me. You've done this thing to me. And when she began to do that, this person, he began to cry. And she said everything sort of broke down in that moment. Everything broke down in that moment. And she just put her arms around him. And O'Shea put his arms around her, right? And she said, today you are like a son to me. I wonder what, on that breakfast table, I wonder there what allowed Mary to forgive something so egregious. I wondered. And I asked her, and she said, because I know through the ministry that I've done that when you let go of these things, God shows up and real healing happens. I think Joseph knew something like that, right? And I think what Joseph trusted in that moment was that God was going to do something with Israel. God was going to preserve life. And I think Mary knew it too, that if she could just get out of her own way in that situation, God was going to move in and do something. And I hope that us people in the Christian world who surround us, come around these tables and show up at these places with these fancy songs and these fancy places, I hope that we can promise it to a world who is so bitterly entrenched in ideologies, right, that every word, every action, every political move is a slight against the other group, right, that we're so torn from each other that we can't even see past, right, the next political decision, right, the next election, the next thing. We're so separated from each other. Families aren't coming together at Thanksgiving anymore, right? This is the world in which we've come, right? And Jesus, in today's gospel, is uncompromising about this. Jesus does not care who got elected. Jesus does not care who gets appointed to the Supreme Court. Jesus does not care about what political slight has been made to you. Jesus just does not care. What Jesus cares about is us getting out of our own way to allow the Holy Spirit to move in to do some special things. And this is not letting yourself be walked over, right? I mean, this is really powerful stuff. If you look at the people in history that have done this stuff successfully, it's Gandhi, it's Martin Luther King, it's Desmond Tutu, it's these folks, it's Nelson Mandela, these folks who have embraced enemy love in this way have changed the world, right? And Jesus is demanding that of your discipleship, of my discipleship. That's what enemy love is all about. It's to let life, as Joseph said, to be preserved, right? And we know the story of Israel. We're all on this side of it, you know. That wasn't the end of their troubles, right? They went through some dark times into the wilderness, lost a whole generation, eventually exiled by the Babylons into Babylonia. They had some difficult times ahead of them. I assure you that we have some difficult times ahead of us. But Jesus is calling us into this posture, right, of preserving life. But just getting out of our own way, this deep forgiveness that is possible, that is available to us. I recently looked up what was going on with Mary and O'Shea and that whole ministry, Death to Life. And Mary, through her ministry, she met a man named Ed. And Ed lost his son to gun violence. And the two of them had an affinity for each other. So they just fell in love. And their love was abounding. And they set a date, and they're walking down the aisle. And of course, Mary, who's is a widow, and her only son had been murdered, needed somebody to walk with her down that aisle. And guess who it was? O'Shea, arm in arm. Amen.
Please stand with me and let us share our faith together by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 9 of your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and a life of a world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people found in your bulletin. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Amen. Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you. We pray for all bishops, priests, deacons, and religious. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble. Give to the departed eternal rest. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others, especially those on our prayer list. Margaret, Steve, Nicole, Courtney and JR, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Ryan and Haley, Teddy, Richard, Regina, Irene, June, Michael, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ed and Pat, Alberta, Tom, Jane, Tony, Zach, Chuck and Betsy, Michael, Clara, Georgina, Joycey, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Jean, Richard, Jackie, Pat, Morgan Ray, Raphael, David, Randy, Judy, Jeff, Melvin and Barbara, Patricia, Norma, Elaine, Sherry, Jason, Corey, Hannah. You may add your own petitions.
Break of mind as a church gathering to discuss heavy issues. We also pray that Roman Catholic Church also gathering this week to discuss heavy issues.
Turn us unto your ways, O God, and grant us courage to encounter new paths.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways and make us lovers of all, opening our arms to embrace our neighbor's need.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Steele Jones and Allison Campbell Graham.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may abide in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. God's peace. All right. So I have no idea what's going on here, but I will say that it's a deep and wonderful privilege for me to be here with you this morning. It just makes my heart glad. I woke up about an hour and 45 minutes later than I usually wake up on Sunday mornings. To that end, next Sunday, just to be aware, am I stealing your thunder here? Next Sunday, 11:15 will be your worship time, 11:15 a.m. If you show up at 10:30, that's perfectly fine. There will be people here doing theological reflection or something. That's a perfect time to show up, and then you can hang out with those folks and then come to the service at 11:15. Pat will be back here with you next Sunday. She is hanging out at St. Albans today. And then I will be with you on March the 10th, which is Lent 1 and Daylight Savings Time. And so it's like coming to church at 10:15, but it's really 11:15 because we're springing forward. It's not confusing at all if you just think about it. I told the folks over at St. Albans, if they go to bed at like 4 in the afternoon on Saturday, they can wake up in time to be in, to be in church that morning because it'll be an hour earlier for them. But and one other thing, we had advertised a work day at St. Albans today in the garden, but since the garden is like floating away at this point, we have canceled that work day and, well, postponed it, I should say, until next Sunday. So if you still want to join us at St. Albans for that it's, we're transforming the garden from several beds into one big bed that will be a co-op, and hopefully we'll make some food for that food pantry that we have here at St. Thaddeus. But if you're still interested in joining, there'll be lunch available over there. You can come on over after this service. Okay, D, sorry. That was way more than I should have done there.
All right. First of all, I want to really thank Robert for being here today. We are so delighted to have you, and we are looking forward to a very long relationship with you. As Robert said, and apparently when I tried to get this straight the last time I made this announcement, I got a lot of people confused. So hopefully this time nobody's confused. Next Sunday, we are going to be here at 11:15 with Pat. The following Sunday, which is the first Sunday in Lent, that's March 10th, Robert will be our new priest, and we will be here at 11:15. So, some other dates for you. Shrove Tuesday is obviously the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, so that's not this Tuesday, but the next coming Tuesday, so a week from this Tuesday. We have been invited to St. Albans to celebrate Shrove Tuesday there, and so I hope to see all of you out there at 6 o'clock. Ash Wednesday, if I get this wrong, fix me. Ash Wednesday, we are going to have an Ash Wednesday service here at noon and at St. Albans at 6:30. So for those that are looking for Ash Wednesday evening service, don't come here. Go to St. Albans. That's where we'll be. And for those that are normally used to doing Ash Wednesday at noon, show up where you normally show up, right here. Okay? So hopefully that didn't confuse anybody. Are there any other announcements?
Yes. Next Sunday, we're having a dinner after church for Pat. So it'll be a full sit-down dinner, barbecue, chicken, the whole works. There's some ladies that are helping me. If you want to help with us, just see us. And then Saturday, we're having pizza at 5:30 with the folks that we've been serving at the food pantry to talk about ways and how we can help them. So they're going to come hang out in the fellowship hall. If Robert's available, we'd like to invite you so that you can see some of the faces. We did 220 meals Saturday. 11 kids, the rest were adults, we did 36 people.
Wonderful. So Shrove Tuesday is March 5th, Ash Wednesday is March 6th. And you're doing this dinner for Pat next Sunday after the late service. Yeah. Okay, so do not come to St. Albans. Enjoy that. Do that. Do that for sure. Yeah. Show up and celebrate Pat. What a wonderful day. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
He that raised up Jesus from the dead.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, we praise you. We join our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, and the calling of Israel to be your people, and your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death.
We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And in the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Jude Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us receive peace. Alleluia.
Of These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now to the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day in Epiphany and remain with you always. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks.